The following three articles appeared in the February 1919 edition of the State Guard News, Volume 1, Number 12. The price? 10 cents. We'll start with an article headlined Governor Holcomb's Inaugural Address. The inaugural address of Governor Marcus H. Holcomb to the January session of the General Assembly forms a document which will go down in the history of the state as second to no address ever made by a governor in the state. The message should be on file in every home in Connecticut and should be thoroughly studied and carefully digested by every citizen of the state. The message is not too long, but is concise and to the point in every particular. While it proves that Connecticut thoroughly covered every contingency and emergency created by the war, it also demonstrates that this was economically done with an amazingly small expense. When it is considered that the total outlay in taking the war census amounted to less than $50,000, and that the cost of equipment and maintenance of the Home Guard up to November 1, 1918 was only $508,617.54, it can readily be seen that an enormous good has been accomplished by a small expenditure of money. But this is not all, as the present value of the equipment of the Guard, allowing for depreciation through wear, damage, and loss, is $466,823.32. Thus, actually, the cost to the state has been less than $42,000. The cost to the state of the State Council of Defense aggregates $151,204.75. The work and achievement of this organization has been invaluable, and nothing too good can be said for it. The manner in which the message treats on Americanization opens to the eyes of every citizen in the state the necessity of education along the lines of Americanizing our large foreign element who do not speak the English language and who do not understand our governmental system and its advantages. In connection with this, the governor said, "We owe it to ourselves and to those who will succeed to our responsibilities and privileges to realize that Americanization is fundamentally a matter of self-defense and self-preservation, and not one merely of sentiment or charitable impulse. I therefore earnestly urge your favorable consideration of the necessity of establishing a Department of Americanization in this state." Among other things, the governor spoke of the necessity of utilizing the best teachers obtainable in our public schools for the propagation of Americanism. Child welfare also was concisely and intelligently presented in the message, showing that 4,878 children under 5 years of age had died in the state during the past year. As the value of a child under 5 years of age is estimated at $950, Connecticut's loss in money through those deaths during the past year amounts to $4,634,100. The governor emphasizes the fact that through legislation the lives and welfare of animals are looked after in the state, but that the lives of children have been neglected. He urged remedial legislation along this line. Labor employment service, dependent and neglected children, epileptics and feeble-minded, public utilities, water supply, sheep, fish propagation, state finances, and the State Board of Finance were among the other matters treated upon by the message, all of which furnish interesting reading and study. Our next story, Marinette booms recruiting business. Office has many visitors to view Corporal Minette Gaby. Dateline Hartford, the local Marine recruiting office in the Hartford Trust Company building, number 756 Main Street, was beset by the curious recently. Not only did many women visit the sanctum of Sergeant Roger J.C. Wilson to view the Lady Marine, Corporal Minette Gaby, but many men, aside from those wishing to try their chances for enlistment, were among the visitors at the office. Corporal Gaby spent the afternoon in sightseeing under the guidance of Sergeant Frank J. Shea, and she had a busy time saluting the superior officers in Army and Navy whom she chanced to meet in her trip to municipal and state buildings and other points of interest. Sergeant Frank J. Shea, U.S. Marines, is spending a 30-day furlough at the home of his parents, number 181 Laurel Street, after serving overseas with the 1st Marine Aero Company for 13 months as mechanic and observer, doing submarine patrol and convoy duty. This is Sergeant Shea's second enlistment in the Marines, and he says it is the finest organization in the world. On his first enlistment before the war, he fought rebels in Santo Domingo and Haiti. The 1st Marine Aero Company was the first aero outfit to arrive overseas from the United States. Our third article, Pinned Beneath Overturned Plane. Dateline Winsted. Lieutenant Edward M. Wilcox, son of Mr. and Mrs. George C. Wilcox of this place, who recently returned to his home here having been discharged from the British Royal Air Force, had many thrilling experiences while flying in England and France. He's a graduate of the Yale Sheffield Scientific School and enlisted in the Air Service June 1, 1917. He was sent to the ground school at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston, where he remained 2 months and a short time later sailed for England. Upon arriving in England, Lieutenant Wilcox was sent to the ground school at Oxford University. And while there, he roomed in one of the dormitories of Queen's College and was attached to the Royal Flying Corps. Lieutenant Wilcox was a member of the first detachment of Americans, numbering about 40, to be trained in England. He made his first trip alone in an airplane covering about 30 miles. He was trained at Lincoln for 6 months, and while there had a narrow escape from death when the motor of his machine went dead. He was compelled to descend. He headed the machine for a field which looked to be smooth but proved to be otherwise, and the machine, going at a speed of 60 miles an hour, struck the rough ground. It turned over, pinning the officer underneath, but he did not lose consciousness. His injuries consisted of a broken thumb and a cut on his chin, and he spent 5 weeks in a hospital following the accident. The machine which he drove was badly wrecked. Of the 80 men in training at Lincoln, about 12 were killed during the 6 months that he was there. While at Lincoln, he experienced a Zeppelin raid by the Germans. After completing his training in England, Lieutenant Wilcox reported with another American aviator to the Air Ministry at London, where they were assigned to take newly constructed airplanes from England across the Channel to Marquis, France. They spent a month at this work, taking many machines to France, and each time they carried guns so as to be able to defend themselves in case German machines were met. They made the return trips from France to England either by leave boats or by Handley Page airplane ferry, which made trips twice a day across the Channel, carrying 16 passengers besides the pilot and baggage. Lieutenant Wilcox said in that September 1918, 2,200 planes crossed the Channel, and the high record for one day was 125. Finishing this work, Lieutenant Wilcox reported back to London and was recommended for service in France as a pilot, but he had spent but 1 week in France when the armistice was signed. He sailed from Marseille January 28th and arrived in New York February 11th.